Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Monday, October 14th, 2019. And it's not a real happy Monday. Let's just keep it all the way 1,000 right now. Spartan fans, this is going to be, you know, we're going to just go with the flow with today's current sports because there are so many emotions that I know Spartan fans are having today. Because what we saw out in Madison, Wisconsin on Saturday was, it was just a complete embarrassment. Let's call it like it is. You guys know me. I do not sugarcoat anything when it comes to Michigan State sports. When it comes to anything we discuss here on the show, I try to keep it 1,000 with you guys. And, you know, today feels like Saturday felt like the beginning of the end when it comes to Mark D'Antonio's greatness as the head football coach at Michigan State University. And, you know, it's so weird because, you know, you look at D'Antonio's tenure and there have been so many historic moments. Mark D'Antonio taking over this program and slowly but surely bringing it to new heights. Big Ten championships. Rose Bowl wins. College football playoff appearances. And now we sit here, and these last, what, 2 to 3 seasons have been tough. Really, really tough. Eyesores to watch. And you as fans, like I always say, I mean, success breeds expectation. When you've been so close and have had so much success, I mean, been one game away from a national championship game, and, you know, the Big Ten championships and the Rose Bowl appearance and, you know, the Cotton Bowl win. You know, when you've had success like that, you as a fan, you expect consistent greatness like that. You may get a mulligan for a year or two after experiencing some success like that, but if you don't deliver, fans are going to get irritable and you are going to hear about it. And Michigan State getting shut out. We knew that it's a pretty good chance that Wisconsin was going to win that game. Wisconsin was the favorite. I thought Wisconsin was going to win, but it was going to be very, very close. You lost, expected by many, but it's the way you lost. You didn't put up a point on Saturday, not one point. A complete shutout at the hands of the Wisconsin Badgers, 38-0. You were a laughingstock on Saturday. And now, the fan base, I believe, about 90% of the fan base right now has reached a boiling point. You were irritable, without a doubt. Annoyed. Some of you are out there still having hope that maybe Michigan State can turn things around. And Coach D, I don't know if, you know, what if they beat Wisconsin or look competitive against Wisconsin? We still got a chance at something special. But after getting blown out 38-0, what kind of hope are you clinging on to at this point? there are a lot of fans that I talked to personally over the weekend, fans that I know that are Mark D'Antonio just fanatics that have flipped the switch now. And we are in a very, this is a weird era that we're in right now, a weird moment in Mark D'Antonio's tenure. And a soundbite that got a lot of play. We're going to play it for you guys in just a moment to introduce the first topic. No brainer, right? This topic may take up the whole hour. Again, we're just kind of going with the flow. I'm pretty sure many of you have thoughts. I want to hear from the fans out there. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Whenever we have dark days here on Current Sports, I call them hour-long therapy sessions here on the show. I'm sure many fans out there want to get some stuff off their chest. And I do believe now it's if I wasn't already convinced before, I'm definitely convinced now that this is probably Mark D'Antonio's final year. Sad though. And then you add on to the fact that last week was just a bad week for MSU football. You had, you know, the transfer news of Ladarius Jefferson that dropped. Then you had the news that Mark D'Antonio is going to have to sit through an up to 7-hour deposition after the season when it comes to this Curtis Blackwell drama. And then you get blown out in Madison 38-0. I mean, I'm sure Becky D'Antonio and a ton of other Mark's family is probably sitting there saying, yeah, this is it, man. I mean, how much more of this can you do? So it's going to be a therapy hour, a therapy session here on Current Sports. Phone lines are open. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there. Comment below that video. And also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. We'll continue our conversation on MSU football in just a moment, but let's go to our current sports quick hit headliners. All right, Michigan State got blown out at the hands of the Wisconsin Badgers on Saturday afternoon, 38-0. You guys know the storyline by now. 38-0. One of the biggest blowouts in Mark D'Antonio's history as the head coach of the Spartans. I believe it's like the third biggest blowout throughout his tenure here. And this team has a lot of questions to answer moving forward. So we'll have more conversation centered on the Spartans in just a moment. The team down the road, the Michigan Wolverines, picked up a win over Lowly, Illinois, 42-25 on Saturday. That was the final of that one, as Michigan now moves on to improve its record to 5-1. Michigan State is now 4-3 on the season, and Wisconsin moves to 6-0 with a loss at the hands of Michigan, Illinois. They fall to 2-4 on the season. All right, Michigan State hockey and their bid to sweep Northern Michigan in a season opening series, fell short on Saturday as the Wildcats held off the Spartans 2-0. Northern Michigan scored on the power play with 7:32 to play in the first period, and the goal stood as the game winner. The Spartans 1-1 now. Will be at home on Friday to host the USN TDP U18 team in an exhibition at 7 p.m. at Munn Ice Arena. So Michigan State opening up the season with a series split versus Northern Michigan, winning on Friday, falling on Saturday. The Michigan State women's volleyball team earned its first five-set win in three tries this season with a 3-2 victory at Iowa yesterday afternoon. MSU is now 12-4 overall, 3-3 in Big Ten play. The Hawkeyes fall to 8-11 and 1-5 in conference action. The Sunday matinee in Iowa City wrapped up a stretch of 8 of 9 games over 4 weeks on the road for MSU, which has played one home game since September 15th. The Spartans started hot, faded a bit in the middle, letting the second and third period, set slip away late before finishing off the fourth set with a 9-3 run and owning the fourth set with 9 kills, 3 blocks, and a 15-3 victory. So good news there for the Michigan State women's volleyball team. All right, now to football, as the Michigan State men's and women's soccer programs were in action over the weekend, playing in rainy and windy conditions. The men's soccer team battled to earn a 1-1 draw against defending national champion number 25th ranked Maryland on Friday at Soggy DeMartin Stadium. The game was called by the ref after 90 minutes of action to protect the players due to the deterioration of the field. Both teams earn a point in the Big Ten standing. Michigan State is now 2-6-3 overall and 2-1-1 in league play. The Terps are now 6-3-2 overall and 1-1-2 in the Big Ten Conference. The Michigan State women's soccer team fell in double overtime to Illinois, 2-1 on the road yesterday afternoon. This was the Spartans' last regular road game of the season. MSU falls to 8-6-1 when the season with a 1-5-1 mark in conference play, while the Illini improved to 8-6-0 and 2-5-0 in Big Ten games. This was the fourth OT game for the Spartans this season, bringing the team's overtime record to 2-1-1 on the year. And Lansing Ignite fell to Greenville Triumph 1-0 on Saturday in the playoff semifinal. So Ignite coming up a bit short there, but overall a really good season for Nate Miller and his team. So even despite the loss, Lansing Ignite going pretty far. Semifinal action, that's very impressive stuff. And if you don't know by now, the Detroit Lions will be taking on the Green Bay Packers on the road at Lambeau Field. Prime time television, Monday night football action. Green Bay 4-1 on the year. Detroit trying to improve on that 2-1-1 record. And I'm sticking to what I stated last week here on Current Sports. If the Lions can somehow, some way beat A.A. Ron and company, I may be a believer that this team will win its first playoff game since the early 90s. But picking Green Bay to win that game. We'll see, though. Detroit has been very sneaky. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Kirk Cousins. I guess you just got to call the brother out on his podcast, and you'll get balls thrown your way, and you start winning games. Because since that whole situation with Adam Thielen and, you know, calling him out on the show, and Stephon Diggs not showing up for team meetings, you know, yeah, they beat the Giants, you know, in that game during that week when that drama unfolded. It's the Giants. But yesterday, getting that win against the Philadelphia Eagles, and Kirk Cousins has looked pretty good throughout these past two weeks. So I don't know, maybe that lighted a fire under him, but he looked pretty good. I was very happy to see him get back on track since that whole drama took place. And yep, wow, that was spot on, Jack. Right when I was about to say, and my Cowboys. Yeah, you bam, right on cue. We suck right now, and I am very heated. I watched that game, and I yelled at the TV. My grandma was telling me to calm down, baby. It was bad. You would not have wanted been around me yesterday when I was watching what happened against the New York Jets of all teams, a team that was winless. Don't get me started. We are horrible right now, Jack.
This you're team terrible.
In so many different areas is just bad. So, again, I don't sugarcoat anything. I am a realistic fan, and what I saw yesterday was trash. Utter trash.
You know what area of the team you guys are really bad?
What's that?
Quarterback.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you're notorious Dak-hater Jack Irwin. Yeah, but it's more than that, dude.
It is more than that, absolutely.
It's so much. And then the injuries. I mean, Randall Cobb out. I could just go on and on and on when it comes to the injuries. No excuse, because still, there's a lot of talent on that football team. Just can't get the job done, so whatever.
The one thing I will say, though, and I'm not joking when I say this, is the Jets are a lot better than an 0-4 team. They've only had Sam Darnold for one game prior to yesterday's game. So if they would have had him the whole year, they'd have at least one more win. So I guess you got that going for you. But yeah, losing at home against, or I'm sorry, it was on the road, wasn't it? But losing to the New York Jets, not a great look for your Dallas Cowboys there.
Horrible look. Horrible look. And I think we play the Eagles this
week. You play the Eagles next week, yeah.
Yeah, this is just, it's bad, man. So, all right. I'm looking forward to watching the Lions and Packers tonight, though. That should be a fun game. All right. And a quick MLB playoff update for you guys. We saw yesterday the Yankees fell to the Houston Astros 3-2. That series is now knotted up at one game apiece. And tonight, around about 7:30, as Washington looks to improve on that series lead of 2-0 against the Cardinals. So we'll see if Washington can continue to bring it on when it comes to that series against the Cardinals. Again, 2-0 series lead. Game 3 tonight, a little after 7 p.m., and the Astros and Yankees will play Game 3 tomorrow a little after 4 p.m. So that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, I'm sure this is going to be a show dominated with MSU football talk. Fans are frustrated. It's just a bad look right now, and I think we may be seeing the beginning of a fantastic era of football when it comes to Mark D'Antonio and his greatness that is not shining through and hasn't shown through in recent years. But I think we may be seeing the beginning of the end of Mark D'Antonio. So thoughts, comments, concerns, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there. Comment below that video. A few of you already commenting. I'll get to those comments in just a moment. And also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News.
Top 25 teams this year, lost to all three, only scored 17 points. 7 games in, was it a mistake to not bring in new offensive staff? And if not so, how do you fix it?
I don't think we ask those questions right now. We're 6-7 games into the schedule. I think that's sort of a dumbass question.
Wrong.
Just so disrespectful for you to say something like that.
You can humble yourself.
That is blasphemous.
Oh man, that was a Jack Kerwin introduction special there. Some timely drops to go along with that viral audio of Mark D'Antonio's post-game press conference, in which he was asked by Spartan Nation's Hondo Carpenter about whether or not, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, right? Whether or not, looking back, maybe some changes to your coaching personnel would have done you some good some better when it comes to this season. And you know what? It's a fair question. Can't knock that question whatsoever. You know, but you know what coach is going to answer that right after a 38-0 blowout loss on the road in Madison? You know, Mark D'Antonio's not going to answer that. You know, maybe that's like a Tuesday presser kind of question, but hey, ask it. You know, ask it. No problem right now. When you get your tail handed to you, like Michigan State football did on Saturday, you deserve any question that comes your way. Any question. If you don't like it, hey, be more competitive. Start winning games. That was just so bad. You know, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. I was out in New York over the weekend on Saturday. I flew back on Sunday. My college buddy Max got married. I stood in his wedding. Beautiful, beautiful time. We had a great, great time. So, you know, I flew out like around 8 a.m., got to my Airbnb around like 11-ish after I landed. You know, me and my college roommate, Will, then we got dressed and then started getting ready for the wedding. And when the game was going on, you know, we're getting ready for the wedding and we're trying to like stream it on our phones and we're watching it and, but it's getting ready for the wedding. So you're watching it, but not really. Then you got to turn off the phone because, all right, ceremony's about to start and you're just looking at the score update. And I could not believe what I was reading on my phone. Again, I knew Wisconsin. I had a feeling Wisconsin was going to win that game. Everybody did. I mean, Wisconsin was the favorite in that game. But as the game went along and that score just, you know, 7-0 and then, you know, another touchdown, you know, for like 14 or 17-0 and then it hits the 20s and then the 30s and then Brian Lewerke throws a pick six and it's just like, what is going on right now? I mean, it's amazing. Then you know, I'm looking at highlights. I'm trying to see the highlights of the game and all the highlights you look at were just Wisconsin's offense. I saw the only Michigan State offensive highlight that I really saw, and it was a low light, was the Brian Lewerke pick six. I did see, you know, Mark D'Antonio trying to breathe some life into his football team with the fake punt that got him the first down and moved the chains. But other than that, that was about it. And what I kept reading on Twitter and hearing from fans out there is that this offense looked like crap. They couldn't move the football. I think Brian Lewerke missed Cody White, I guess, for what could have been a touchdown, and Cody White was a bit frustrated going back to the huddle. So it's just – and then I heard the dreaded word that you never want to hear concerning a team that you love. The dreaded word that if you hear it, there has to be some changes. You know there's going to be some changes. And you can tell. You can tell if this dreaded word has infected your football team by just watching them, by just watching their body language and how they move around on the field, how they're interacting, their, you know, facial expressions. And I went back and I watched. There was one video I was able to catch that had, you know, a lot of the game posted. And you could see this late in the game. It looked like the players, hate to use this word, but it looked like the players quit. When the fourth quarter hit, it looked like the effort, you know, guys just kind of walking around, going through the motions. No passion. A defeated football team. That was my takeaway that I got when I was looking. And I kept seeing it. A lot of you guys on Twitter saying this team has quit. They have thrown in the towel. They have gone Mickey from Rocky and thrown in the towel. It's over. Done. No mas. And that's what it looked like. And anytime you have a problem like that where your team is just giving up and quitting, something's got to change. Something's got to change. We've been talking about this for the last 3 weeks now here on Current Sports. Whether or not the magic is gone and there needs to be new life breathed into this football team. How do you do that? Well, you got to move on from the guy. I'm sorry, but this is where we're at now. I don't like talking about the job of coaches and coaches getting fired, but it's a reality. At the end of the day, if you're not winning football games and you are consistently underperforming, a change has to be made. Now, let me say this. Do I think Mark D'Antonio should be fired? No. Would not be fair to him. Mark D'Antonio should not be fired. And heck, I don't think Bill Beekman would even do that. Bill Beekman is still getting used to being the athletic director at a Big Ten university like Michigan State. He wouldn't do that. Mark D'Antonio, he deserves the respect to step down, to say, okay, fans are frustrated. We're not winning football games. This isn't fun for me. So you know what? I think it is time. It is time for me to move along. He deserves that respect. I think Mark D'Antonio is smart enough to realize that, okay, he's not going to force it. I think he's smart enough to realize that, okay, all right, maybe a change needs to happen now. I'm not happy. This is taking a toll on my family. It's time. It is about that time. And not to mention, this is what really convinced me last week because I was still thinking, okay, maybe still another season. But the fact that this whole Curtis Blackwell thing is still lingering. After the season, you got to still go into that dark chapter of this university and Michigan State football history. And he's going to have to undergo a deposition in which he could be there up to 7 hours. That's still lingering. On top of losing football games. On top of performing below expectations on the football field. Mark D'Antonio deserves the courtesy of stepping down on his own terms because he is the winningest football coach of all time. He's done a lot for this program. I mentioned all of the success in the past. And again, I think he's smart enough to understand that this is probably the season. This is it. Michigan State football has taken steps back in a lot of areas. Many, many areas. The only place that you can make an argument that Michigan State has stayed consistent at is the defense. But, and again, looking at 38-0, right, and the fact that Wisconsin was able to put up 38 points against Michigan State on Saturday, when it comes to Michigan State's defense, I mean, looking at that, if your offense isn't putting up points and they can't move the football, eventually that defense is going to get tired and they're going to start to give up plays. You got to score. The offense has to help you. And they just haven't. They haven't. And you just don't know what you're getting from this football team week by week. You know, we thought the offense was fixed, I think, after the Western game. A lot of people coming out and saying, uh-oh, we found something. Here we go. It's been up and down. Inconsistency. Drop passes. Penalties. Just overall frustration. And a good friend of mine, I'm not going to say his name. He's a very good friend of the show. But we were chatting over the weekend. We always chatting. We're texting back and forth. And he let me know about all of the former Michigan State football players who came out on their respective Twitter pages, and let it be known that a change needs to happen, that something has to go in a different direction, because this is inexcusable. I saw Jarrell Worthy. Jarrell Worthy kind of had a he had a big rant. A lot of people reacting to Mark D'Antonio's reaction to that question again, which, you know, hey, it's a fair question. But again, I get why, you know, Mark D'Antonio kind of snapped, because, you know, he's ticked off. He's ticked off in that moment. But you got to handle that better. You have to handle that better. But I saw Jarrell Worthy. I saw Javon Ringer coming out and say some things. Is not pleased with how player, you know, looks like the players are quitting on the coaching staff and that kind of thing. And you know, I saw some players out there. Here's Darian Harris. Darian, former, you know, intern here at Current Sports, doing some great things now as he's a football coach in the Metro Detroit area now. You see him here locally all the time on other media outlets on Fox 47 with Jack Ebling. Darian tweeted, quote, "The performance today was inexcusable, period. Bye, then on to next week. Y'all got to have more of a player's mentality on the timeline. It's good for your mental physique. Trust me." I don't know what the point Darian was trying to make there. That last part, you got to have more of a player's mentality. I guess people were going at the players for seeming like they quit on the team as the game went along. And there were a lot of people attacking the players as well on Twitter as well. That Twitter can be such it's an unhealthy place. It really is. Naquan Jones. He tweeted, quote, "I don't understand why these fake bleep Spartan Nation fans always have so much to say. Unless you're strapping up pads to play alongside me, you should keep your comments to yourself. We work every day to get criticized by people I bet haven't even played one snap of football." So, yeah. Okay, so I get it now. Darian, Naquan, other players out there. Tyler Higbee retweeted and said, right, been saying this. There were a lot of people going at the players for seemingly giving up. Again, I used the quit word because that's what it looked like. In that fourth quarter, watch that fourth quarter. Just look at the demeanor of the players. It looked like they just quit. It's like their soul just got sucked out of them when that fourth quarter hit, especially after that pick six from Brian Lewerke. But I agree. I mean, you got to look at the big picture here. You know, this is a Michigan. This is on the coaching staff. Some of the players play the game. Trust me. Some of it is on the players as well. But Michigan State didn't look ready at all on Saturday. And as a coaching staff, that's a big part of your job, to make sure your team is ready or looks ready, looks prepared. Michigan State looked completely lost on Saturday. And that's on the coaches. I'm not completely letting the players off the hook. But like I was saying, though, Michigan State has taken steps back in so many different areas. Recruiting as well, that's another one. No, you know, when it comes to Curtis Blackwell, I will say this. I know there's this drama going on with Curtis and Curtis going at the school and going at Luana Simon and Mark Hollis and Coach D. But if we're being 1,000 here, like we always try to be here on Current Sports, like I try to be, let's keep it real. When Curtis was here, Curtis, the founder and the organizer of Sound Mind, Sound Body, one of the biggest football camps here in the Midwest, Michigan State began to move the needle just a bit when it came to recruiting big-time names. 4-star, maybe 5. I think he got some 5-star athletes, didn't he, Jack? So if we're being all the way 1,000 here, losing Curtis Blackwell was a big loss recruiting-wise for Michigan State. They've been getting some okay players. You know, and every once in a while you'll find the diamond in the rough, right? You'll find like the Darquez Denard, the Kirk Cousins, the Trey Wans, Le'Veon Bells, the guys who weren't crazy recruited, but you turned them into animals. You know, but at a certain, you would think though, with Michigan State's success, especially when Michigan State went to the college football playoff, at some point you got to start getting better players, or at least trying to go after them. And you just haven't seen that, man. So, this to me, Jack, this feels like the beginning of the end. And that frustration, you know what? Mark D'Antonio's response to that question, calling the question a dumbass question, his response to that, you know what that let me know? That let me know that he's been hearing that chatter for a long time. He's probably been having conversations about that criticism within his own camp. He's maybe read it in the paper, maybe listened to it on the radio, maybe talked about it at home, thought about it before he went to bed. Maybe I should have fired somebody. His reaction to that question told me that is a topic that has been on his mind and is a very sensitive one.
He's tired of it.
He is very tired of it. because you just don't have a reaction like that if you ain't been thinking about it. So that's where I'm at with it, man. It's a sad it's a sad place to be right now when it comes to Michigan State fandom. And what worries me too is, you know, the quick response is right now, okay, Michigan State has to move on from Mark D'Antonio. But what worries me is that when we've seen changes in coaching and new personnel brought in, you just don't know how that new personnel is gonna, you know, if that new coach is gonna continue to, you know, is going to rise up to the occasion and bring more wins to the other previous coach, or you could go the other, completely opposite way. You just don't know.
Okay, but you can't be thinking like that. Because
but it's a thought.
Well,
it's
sure. The problem is, if you think that way, you're kind of acting like Michigan State is still what it was 4 years ago. And those days are over with Mark D'Antonio. You know, Saturday's game, excuse me, made that more clear to me than ever that, you know, this team is never going to get back to what it was in 2013, 2014, 2015. And you're absolutely right. The recruiting is not as good as it used to be. Doug Warren talked about it yesterday on Press Pass, is that you can say whatever you want about Curtis Blackwell and, you know, the lawsuit going down, but MSU never replaced Curtis Blackwell from a recruiting standpoint. They absolutely never replaced him. You know, that voice.
How can you replace a guy like that, though? I mean, Curtis.
Yeah, I'm not sure there are a lot of guys like Curtis around the city of Detroit. My whole problem is, you know, you knew when you let Curtis Blackwell go that you were going to be taking a hit recruiting-wise, and you basically replaced him with Cody White's dad and Don Treadwell. And that just hadn't been good enough. You know, the other problem I have is, you know, Naquan Jones' response to fans criticizing the team. I'll just be honest. I don't know Naquan Jones. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. I don't think you should be on Twitter probably the day after a loss. And you especially cannot be critiquing fans for criticizing the team, because that's the trade-off of playing at a big-time program like Michigan State University. You know, Michigan State has a big fan base, and fans are not going to be content with this team wasting another spectacular defense, you know, because the offense is just so darn inefficient. They can't do anything right. You know, so if you're Naquan Jones, I would just suggest to him to probably not really pay attention to social media. Maybe take a page out of the MSU basketball team's playbook and stay off of social media until the end of the season, because you know what? You're going to love the fans when they're all with you, and you're going to talk about how great your support is at Spartan Stadium, what a great home field advantage it is. Well, the trade-off is, you know, these people spend a lot of money on games. They spend a lot of money on Spartan apparel. It's a big investment to follow a college football team. And if the product isn't up to par, if it's not up to what you've seen the last few years, you're going to criticize it. You're going to be angry about it. That's just the way it works.
Yep. That's how it is. You know, you guys invest so much time and energy into this program because you love it. Many of you are alum. You've gone here. You've spent season ticket money. You've spent money on apparel, as Jack was saying, and you are emotionally invested. And when you see a product that you support go from college football playoff to this, it is going to rub you a certain way. And the criticism is fair. As long as you're not getting personal with people, you know, and getting personal with these young men, the criticism is fair.
Of course not. That's way too much. Especially at the college level. That's too much.
Exactly. Yeah. These are kids still. You know,
but I don't really think that's what he's calling out. That's the problem.
No, that's what I'm saying. The big reason why people are so upset, Jack, we all know what it is, because from the outside, you can look and see that, all right, Mark, this isn't working. Why don't you bring somebody in with some new ideas? And the fact that, again, he just played played musical chairs, shifted everybody around. We said it when it happened. When Mark D'Antonio held that press conference and said, we're not going to let anybody go, but we're going to move some pieces around. This is our new offensive coordinator. Move Brad Sillum over here, and you go over there, then you go over there, then you go over there. We're good.
Musical chairs.
Exactly. We said when that happened, Jack, that, okay, you just opened the door for if this doesn't go right next season, you open the door for fans, for everybody out there, to go at your neck. You gave them it free, just open opportunity right there. You invited that. Because I think Mark D'Angelo is basically trying to say that, okay, watch this work. Watch me do this and watch this work, and watch me tell you why you were so wrong. But Mark, if it goes the other way, you can't get mad if this fan base goes at your throat, because it's warranted. Fans wanted to see big change. You didn't give that to them. And now Michigan State football is an embarrassment at this point. And it's like, I even started having these thoughts. When I was on the plane yesterday, Jack, I'm like, like the Michigan and Michigan State game, how dull is that going to be? All of the emotion that that game has had and the hype that that's had in the past. Now you got two coaches who are on, you know, who are sitting on some pretty warm seats right now. Two programs that are mediocre who are not going to go to Indy to compete for a Big Ten championship. That game, who cares?
Who Final cares score about will probably Michigan, be 3-2.
What's that?
Final score will probably be 3-2. Last second field goal to win it 3-2.
Right, I know, right? So bad. Like, who cares about that game?
No, I've looked at the schedule for both teams, and I guess I got to give Michigan a little bit more credit in that they haven't lost the games that I think they're going to lose yet, whereas Michigan State already has, you know, three L's. Is, you know, if you look at both teams' schedule, Michigan travels to Penn State next weekend, then they take on Notre Dame, and then they play Ohio State at the end of the year with Michigan State, you know, sandwiched in between those two games. And Michigan State still has to face Penn State as well. If you look at it, both teams are basically going to be 8-4, with the swing game being whoever loses it falls to 7-5. That's sure what it looks like to me.
Right. That's, you know, exactly what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. Michigan absolutely cannot compete with Wisconsin. We already saw that. I think Ohio State's better than Wisconsin, to be honest. Penn State, to me, again, I'm not a big James Franklin guy, and they didn't impress me on Saturday, but I think at home, that's a night game, that's going to be a whiteout. I still think they're going to beat Michigan. I think they'll probably beat Michigan State this year, too, just because I think you're right. I think we kind of might be at the part where, at the point of the season where I think some players might quit on this team, to be honest with you, a lot like what we saw in 2016. You know, was the 2016 team a 3-9 team based on talent? No.
No, absolutely not.
And even with Tyler O'Connor, who...
It got to a point where it's like, we're not winning football games.
And people shifted their focus. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm done. I'm done. I'm like, we've won three games. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you get to a point where you check out mentally. And I'm wondering now, how much worse can this thing get now? I mean, will we see more players hit the transfer portal? Are we going to see more names come out and say, I'm done, I'm out, deuces? Or maybe some of those bench guys are saying, all right, maybe there's some opportunity here. You know, the starters aren't getting the job done. Maybe I can stick around and maybe get a shot at this thing now. Who knows? What I want to do right now, though, Jack, let's hit our first break. And then I'll get to a few comments that are coming in. Some people have some strong thoughts that are coming in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Again, you can call in 517-355-WKAR. We will be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have been discussing the massacre in Madison on Saturday as Michigan State fell hard to the Wisconsin Badgers 38-0. And for those watching the live stream on facebook.com/WKAR News, just not a great day for me. The Cowboys got whooped. Michigan State gets blown out. The wedding was great. Had a great time at the wedding. Brad Walker, if you guys have been watching the live stream these last few weeks, anytime my Cowboys have lost, he has printed out, he has taken the courtesy to print out a nice message that he puts right in front of the Current Sports signage. And, you know,
He's been insufferable to you, really, these last few weeks. I think it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
I mean, Brad's
it's
the man, funny. And as a Raiders fan, I'm so happy for him because, you know, I thought hiring Gruden would be such a disaster. But now, like, the craziest part is Gruden looks like he may have actually known what he was doing when he got rid of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper and he got all these draft picks back.
I know for a moment right now, at least for right now. But, yeah, Brad is, like, when we lost to the Packers, you probably noticed a sign that said, go, Pack, go. Latest loss yesterday at the hands of the New York Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets. And he made the font very big so that our listeners and viewers out there can read it. And he always tips over the Cowboys helmet that one of our listeners got me, Ben and Stephanie. So I'll take it. I'm a good sport.
You are a good sport. You're a nice guy. You know what? The other thing, though, if you want a positive spin, I know you're not so much of a Lions fan, but if you want a positive spin, if the Lions win tonight, this is the kind of game that I think kind of puts the Lions on the map in the NFL this year. Like, if they win this game, they're for real.
I would love to see that because it's, I mean, you guys, I don't know how you guys do it as Lions fans, man. I mean, if any team deserves it in the league, it's you guys, Detroit Lions. But I will say that I'm looking at the positive. You know, my Cowboys are still atop the horrible NFC East. We're tied atop the top with the Philadelphia Eagles, both at 3-3. So, I don't know. And we play each other this weekend. So, I'm still – but it's just a bad day. Anytime you lose like that, yeah. But a lot of comments are coming in, Jack. A few interesting ones here. Where should I start? I'm not going to start with Ben saying respect the star, LOL.
Did you just see the video of the Cowboys defensive players coming off the field and Jason Garrett holding his hands out for the high fives and they were all leaving him hanging?
I didn't see that.
I'm going to need to show you this video. I'm not sure Jason Garrett's ridiculously respected within that Cowboys locker room anymore. And I don't see how he could be because I have no idea how that guy is still your head coach.
Free join. You preaching to the choir, dude. I'm just going to give you a bunch of amens from the congregation.
Because, again, people, and I've said this before, is that people talk about how much of a jerk they think Jerry Jones is. Yeah. I would take Jerry Jones as my team's owner 100 times out of 100 because the guy just wants to win. And I want an owner who wants to win. The one thing that baffles me is Jason Garrett's his yes man, and he hasn't found another yes man recently. It's like, it can't be that hard to find a coach that'll say, yes, Mr. Jones, whatever you say, Mr. Jones. You got it, Mr. Jones. You want to sign Greg Hardy? All right, that's fine, Mr. Jones. You want to draft Zeke Elliott fourth overall? You got it, Mr. Jones. We'll do that, Mr. Jones. It's fine, Mr. Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Jason is just not a... He's don't get me on that rant right now, because we only got 10 minutes left here in the show. I could go miles and miles when it comes to discussing the various points that make Jason Garrett not a great coach. So, but all right, I'm not done with the Cowboys crap. All right, Mike, well, at least all aspects of MSU's game were bad. Gotta love consistency. Very true, Mike.
Just that's a good point.
Every area, excuse me, this
wasn't a game where you could feel like the offense let the defense down.
Nope.
Because the defense let the defense down.
Yep.
And then the offense let the offense down. But then
Mike brings up the fact that, again, this is what I stated, though. The time of possession, Jack, Wisconsin 39-50, MSU 20-10 kind of sums it up. I mean, if you're on the field for almost 40 minutes throughout the entire game, you're going to get tired, and, you're going to give up some big plays eventually.
Okay, but they were down 17-0 at the half. They didn't really stop Wisconsin throughout that game outside of the first drive where Jack Cohn fumbled a snap and they were stuck, 3rd-and-20 on their very first three plays of the game.
But if your offense isn't giving you any kind of points, any kind of production, and they're going off the field left and right, I mean, you're going to get tired, man.
You're going to get tired. But again, the other thing is, too, is like, How many tackles are certain players in the Michigan State secondary going to miss every single game?
So that's another one, too.
That's not on the offense. You know, if you want to say time of possession, that's fair. And a lot of that goes to the offense. But, I mean, time of possession also adds up when the defense doesn't ever make a stop. Right. Or they do make a stop, and then, a guy on the defensive line is lined up offsides, like, twice in the first half that I think didn't they get off the field twice, technically, stop them on third down twice?
Yeah.
Only to have guys lined up offside, so it would, result in a first down instead.
Yep. It's, geez, all these are so. Okay, Alex says, this season kind of reminds me of George Perlis's last season. Okay.
People have been comparing these last few years to the last few years of Lloyd Carr for a little while now at Michigan.
John L. heard that as well. Anthony comments and says, Bill Beekman is the last person to decide who our next coach should be. I don't trust our so-called AD, and I know the majority of our fan base feels the same way. Well, yeah, because
it's horrifying.
Bill Beekman had no prior athletic directing experience whatsoever. He was a man who sat on the board of trustees as the secretary, and he got bumped up to interim AD, and he just held down the fort and got the permanent position. So you look at that and say, you're hoping that Bill, okay, is doing his homework, but man, you think when it comes to hiring the next head coach of your Big Ten football program, you want an AD that has a lot of experience and some connections and some pull here and there, right? So I don't know if you know, Mark does step down, Bill was going to have to lean on maybe a search firm. I don't know.
Yeah, no,
get a
absolutely.
Search firm in here, man.
No, absolutely. You know what? I referenced this back. You know, when this hire was made, and you and I think disagreed on it, maybe still do a little bit, is, you know, it could be very reminiscent of when Ward Manuel hired Juwan Howard to succeed John Beilein at the University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, where that program was when Beilein left was obviously better than what Michigan State football is now. But, you know, you look at what John Beilein accomplished at the University of Michigan, 2 national championship appearances in 5 years, only to be succeeded by a guy who's never been a head coach before. To me, if I were a Michigan fan, that would be a disaster. And I don't see really any way in which Bill Beekman makes a hire that would, you know, be impressive to me, where I would be impressive with who he replaced Mark D'Antonio with. I have
unless
a list
he
of guys.
Unless he somehow snags some big name out. If he snags, like, Luke Fickell.
Luke Fickell would be probably the top of my list, but I don't see any world in which I'm not sure Bill Beekman knows who Luke Fickell is.
I know, right? That's the thing. If he somehow some way pulls this off, but right now, as far as Ant is saying there, the point he has, how much confidence do Michigan State fans have that Bill Beekman is going to find a great coach to replace Coach D? The confidence isn't really high. That percentage is very, very low. That confidence percentage is very, very low. Ben says, I agree that it's time for change. I think Coach D needs to step down, but he doesn't deserve to be fired. I love Coach D, but it's gotten to the point where nothing is going right anymore with this team. Very frustrating to watch.
So do you agree with me now, by the way, that you think this is Mark D'Antonio's last year?
Yeah, that's the point I've been making. Yeah. Because you said that, and I said, oh, I think maybe one more season, but especially last week really got me on your side, Jack, because when I saw the story come out about Curtis, I said, oh, my goodness, a 7-hour deposition and you're already having this kind of season and people are already frustrated with your team. This is weighing on Coach D. It's clear. You can see it. Did you see his demeanor in that press conference? He looked like he's just tired, fed up, angry, like he needs a vacation, man. Like, he just needs a permanent vacation somewhere just to go retire and live out the rest of his years, I don't know, up north, right off the beach somewhere, man, just to get away, because it looks like it's wearing on Coach D. The bags under his eyes are getting heavier.
Okay, he's had those for a while.
He's had those for a while. I'm doing that to exaggerate my point. The bags are crazy, Jack. He just looks very wrinkles, and he looks bad. He just needs to go and just relax.
I think that's all from just having a scowl on his face, you know, throughout his entire coaching tenure. You know, even the days when MSU was winning the Cotton Bowl and winning the Rose Bowl and making the college football playoff, he didn't smile a whole lot on the sidelines. I think that might be where the wrinkles came from.
Right. That's true. I got some breaking news. Maybe we get like a breaking news drop one of these days whenever we have some breaking news here on Current Sports. I got this text from our very own good college basketball friend, Mr. Deshaun Tate, and I'm seeing it make the rounds on Twitter as well. Deshaun is a college basketball columnist, producer, and host for 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, Georgia.
I think I know where you're going with this.
You know where I'm going. You've probably seen this.
No, I haven't yet. I haven't been on Twitter the last hour, but go ahead, break the news. Sorry.
Oh, this is the breaking news. Number 10 ranked point guard for 2020, Jalen Terry, has decommitted from Michigan State this morning.
That's not really what I was hoping for. Kind of a letdown.
I kind of hyped it up like it was good news.
It's not that it's necessarily, I'm not going to, you know, speculate one way or the other about how great of news it is that a guy decommits that I've never seen play before. Maybe Izzo, you know, sees a guy he likes better, and maybe he's kind of been giving him more attention, and maybe this was, you know, a processing move. Who's to say? I was hoping it was going to pertain to Joey Hauser, to be completely honest with you.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah, we're still waiting on that, right? That appeal to see if it goes through or not. But no, Jalen Terry of Flint Beecher, he decommitted from Michigan State's basketball program not too long ago. The news broke within the hour. So, yeah, he's 5'11". He originally chose MSU in April over Iowa and Missouri, and saying that Tom Izzo was the reason he wanted to play college basketball in East Lansing. So two former Spartans, football player Courtney Hawks and basketball player Marquise Gray, who both currently coach at Beecher, said Hawkins could have made an impact, immediate impact, for Michigan State. He's a four-star recruit who is decommitting from Tom Izzo's program.
So, well, it's a sad day to be a Spartan then. I don't mean to be sarcastic. It's just I have no opinion on this because I've obviously never seen this young man play. So
right, I haven't either. I haven't seen a tape of his or anything. I'm not a big recruiting guy in the first place. But he's also being recruited by Iowa State, Butler, DePaul, Iowa, Mississippi State, Louisville, and, oh, yeah, Michigan. So there you have that. So we'll see what happens with Terry. We don't have time probably for this second break, do we, Jack? 30 seconds now.
Just roll through it, baby.
Let's just roll through it to the end of the show, and we'll go right into a brief Lions preview. Right? Why not, man? You know, Lions and Packers, this is fun. This is really, really fun because you rarely get to see the Lions at this point in the football season on primetime television with a record like this. I mean, amazing, amazing stuff. I will be, you know what, I may even do something I don't even really do when I'm watching Monday Night Football. You know how they have like the pregame show that lasts like an hour and some change leading up into the game, and they talk, you know, have all these features on different players who are playing. I'm curious to see what kind of feature stories they have on the Lions. There's going to be a lot of Lions talk. But just to see the Lions on primetime television out in Lambeau Field taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, I'm going to be glued to my TV to watch this one. I can't wait to break this one down. I think, again, if the Lions pull this off, I may be turned into a believer, Jack. But I think the Packers are gonna win a close one. This will not be an easy game for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And, you know, I did give props to the Packers and have been doing this throughout the season when it comes to the Packers defense. But even in that loss for my Dallas Cowboys against the Packers, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense were able to put up over 500 yards. So Matthew Stafford and offense can
score
on
padding.
This defense.
Stat padding. That's what that was. However, it pertains to the Green Bay Packers, they do have a great defense, but they also rank 30th in the NFL in run defense. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lions try to do with Daryl Bevell. They're going to try to run the ball, get Kerryon Johnson involved early and often. You heard it here first on Current Sports. The Lions will show up tonight, and unlike last Sunday, 2 weeks ago's performance, where they fell a little bit short, the Lions will win at Lambeau Field tonight. And we are going to be very positive on the tomorrow edition of Current Sports. By the way, I do have some news for you off air about, it looks like, why Jalen Terry may have decommitted from Michigan State.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to that and more on Tuesday's Current Sports. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy the game tonight. And be easy, people.